This is ensemble member Molly Regan, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theater Company podcast.
I'm Associate Artistic Director David New, and I'm here today with the Director of Casting and the School at Steppenwolf, Erica Daniels. Hey, Erica.
Hi, David.
You know, I think that a lot of people have some idea about what a casting director might do at a theater, but can you talk a little bit at the simplest level, and you and I know it's never simple, what the Director of Casting at Steppenwolf is responsible to?
My job is very much a... I like to say I lay the buffet out, and then I'm there throughout the course of, you know, the auditions and the planning of casting to really steer and direct the director into hearing what they've said they want and reiterating things that they want, so that in the end, the way they envision the play is going to be fully realized. So, you know, to start, I'll meet with one of our directors, let's say, you know, Anna Shapiro or somebody like Amy Morton, and we'll meet with Martha Levy, our artistic director. And we first, because we're an ensemble-based theater, we go through our artists who are part of our family and our ensemble and see if any of them are appropriate for roles in the play. And once we've gone through those actors, and sometimes it's a chain, sometimes because some of our men are the same age and a couple of them may be right for a role, we'll go through our ensemble, and then we really start to brainstorm Chicago-based actors that we've worked with before or that are new into town that may be right for a role. So I listen to what the director says she or he sees for the play, the type of descriptions and the way they describe, you know, the spine of the character, I like to say, so that I can get a sense of what they're looking for and how I may brainstorm ideas for them. Depending on the role, I may have five guys I just want the director to see, and we'll pick audition material and bring them in directly for the director. For something that's a much bigger search, if we're looking for young adults for like our upcoming production of Up, I'll pre-read a number of young actors before bringing them to the director. So I'll screen, you know, 100 young men, narrow it down to 20, narrow that down to 10 to bring into the director, Anna Shapiro, for that production. So it's a winnowing down. And then during the course of the auditions, what I try to do is, I'm the good cop in that I try to remember what the director has said they most desire for the character, and I try to talk back to them in what they've seen from certain actors, so that if they say, this trait is really important for the character, I can say, well, Joe brought you that more strongly than Bob did. So it seems to me that Joe understands what you're looking for and has that ability. But it's also my job to say, but I've seen Bob do this in this show. They have the ability to get there, so you shouldn't worry about that if you're still leaning towards Bob. I'm also the person that does have to keep track of the budgets and make sure that if for some reason we didn't find the actor in town and the director was raising their hand that we needed to go out of town, if we have the ability to do that. We very rarely go out of town for casting at Steppenwolf, except for, obviously, we go out of town for our ensemble members, but for very specific types of roles, Jana in August, Osage County, some of the more commie pieces we've done, or Homebody Kabul, where we're looking for very, you know, ethnically demographic specific types of roles, we may go out of town. But we really try to focus on the Chicago actor community or actors that we've worked with and want to form repeatable relationships with. So it's my job to keep track of the, you know, who would work technically in the production just along budgetary lines, and then who works also to fulfill what the director's, you know, pure vision of the show is.
Yeah. And I mean, and you have to be one of the people in Chicago who has the most depth of knowledge about the talent pool here. So, it, you know, it makes sense in terms of concentrating on in-town casting, because it seems that you have such a breadth of knowledge about who's here and what their work is. You know, but listening to you talk about that collaboration with the director, it's interesting because I would guess that a director's idea of the character can change from an initial conversation with you through the audition process as they spend more time with the play and see more actors.
Very much.
Can
Very
evolve.
Much. Yeah, I mean, sometimes a director speaks about a character very early after reading the play once or twice. And then in the middle of the audition process, I see who they're responding to. And I know it's slightly different than the rest of the roster of talent I'm bringing in that day. And so I may say to them, okay, some of these people are not going to be how I'm hearing you speak about the character any longer. There's a couple of other people I'm thinking about suddenly that I'll want to bring in the next day. So it does. It changes, it shifts, it evolves. And sometimes you end up picking one actor, and then you really need to make that the center of importance. And so you may go, well, I don't have any actors that will work well with that actor, so I need to bring in different actors to pair up with that person. So it does shift throughout the process.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an equation. There are givens, and there are a lot of variables, and you have to.
It's like
a
puzzle. I always say it's very much like puzzle piecing, and sometimes things fit. And actors, I think, get through this business knowing that if they get the audition, then they know they're doing something right, because so many of the other variables that affect the final decision might have nothing to do with the work. It can be because of so many other variables.
Yeah. And I know that you have been very progressive in the realm of non-traditional casting and colorblind casting. And of course, that's your business. So I know that you've been a leader in that conversation. How does that inform the way that you might suggest to a director casting a role in a way that didn't initially maybe occur to them?
Because we come from this ensemble base, for me, it's a little easier with some directors to say which ensemble member will be the most appropriate for the role. Oh, and they happen to be African American. So that's sometimes how the conversation starts. Like with The Crucible, it really wasn't about Anna Shapiro wanting to make any sort of statement about interracial relationships or racial issues. It was, you know, James Meredith, the new ensemble member to our company, was the most appropriate in her mind to John Proctor, and that's who she wanted. And the person she most wanted for Elizabeth Proctor was Sally Murphy. And so we immediately started with an interracial relationship and then tried to remove race from what the audience talked about the whole time by colorblind casting around that. And in doing so, we had to talk about race an awful lot in the audition process so that we were clear that not all the nice people in the play were white and not all the nice people were black. You know, we really were very keen on how this was affecting everything. You know, I'm working on a first look play, and I sent an email to 2 out of my 3 writers, directors, saying, you know, I know this isn't specified, but can any of these roles be, you know, African-American, Asian, non-traditional. One of my directors wrote back, you know, they're all from small town Wisconsin, so probably not except for this role. Whereas somebody else wrote back, oh yeah, I'm really open for 4 of the 6 roles. So oftentimes when people just have the right actor, that becomes a really, I think in our time now, a very moot point. People just aren't hung up on it unless it changes what changes the play itself and what the play is saying.
Is there flexibility in gender, particularly, let's say, with either a new play or a small role? I know that happens a lot in television and film, like you have a doctor or a nurse. Well, you know, it could be anyone.
It's less so. I mean, I hear my colleagues in casting talk about it with small roles in films that come into town. But it is really rare, I think, for me to get a script and not have a clear, because even the small roles may double up as other roles, which are gender specific.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the non-equity actors in Tempest that audience members may see, they were very much, we auditioned men and women ensemble, and Tina just picked the 3 that she felt were the most appropriate for how she saw using them. Mm-hmm. But things like that can be open. But otherwise, I think it is rare in theater that gender is less
has fluidity.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and also, you know, it's my impression that our ensemble members, in terms of the casting, have the privilege of being able to stretch beyond their work outside of Steppenwolf. In terms of, it might not be a perfect match for the actor, but because they're an ensemble member and this is their home, they're given the freedom to explore that role and be cast in that role.
Yeah, we've been pretty open since my time here. I mean, I assume it started before my time. But you know, oftentimes somebody is completely age inappropriate or type. You would never guess that that's the role you would see them in. And I think their fellow ensemble artists are very keen to allow growth to happen among them and to watch their friends and fellow colleagues really stretch their chops and try new things. So it is I think, something very special in our theater that the actors are not stereotyped and pigeonholed. And you see, you know, Alana Arenas playing Frank Galati's daughter in a role like Miranda, which oftentimes is a very girly girl type of ingenue. And in our production, it allows Alana to go to a place of young girl, but also allows Alana to bring herself into it, which is what's so special.
Yeah. What I love about that is that just the world of theater is so competitive, the pressures are so keen that those casting pressures seem to be in place at so many other venues. And at their home, they get to step slightly outside the parameters that the world of theater, professional theater, may put on them.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a given, because, you know, sometimes our ensemble directors are not going to go with an ensemble person for whatever reason. And they walk in on an even playing field, and there's the utmost respect. Nobody really does question it when it doesn't go their way and they don't get the role that maybe they secretly thought they were perfect for, but the director didn't. It doesn't feel that way when it doesn't happen. And there really is this even playing field when Malkovich is on the stage with a young ensemble member. It's an even playing field. People don't walk through those front doors as anything other than a Steppenwolf ensemble member.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, it's been great talking with you. And, you know, I think that people are aware to some degree that there are a lot of contributors to what they see on the stage in terms of a creative team and production and all of the work that goes on at the theater. But, you know, I really think, Erica, that your contribution to Steppenwolf is so significant in the way that you carefully and thoughtfully collaborate with directors to bring these phenomenal cast arrangements to the productions of Steppenwolf. It's really fantastic. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, David. Yeah. That's very sweet of you. Thank you.
If you want more information about the school at Steppenwolf, you can visit www.steppenwolf.org. AT&T is the sponsor of online content at steppenwolf.org.